If you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joshua. Very familiar scripture. Now, Brother Robbie said he'd heard me sing for years and years. I mean, I was a little fella, a little bit about, I've grown up and grown out, as they say. I'm not as little as what I used to be, but I've been singing mostly all my life. Amen. About 13 years old when I first learned how to play the guitar, and I haven't put it down since. And the Lord has worked with me many, many different singings and many different revivals and things like that. But in July of 2007, the Lord called me to preach. He put a calling on my heart. And I'd grown up under Dad's preaching. I'm what Kathy calls a PK. I'm a preacher's kid, pastor's kid. And Jerry was my pastor then at the time as well over at North Washington in Cookeville. And I'd asked him, I said, you know, I feel like the Lord is calling me to preach. I could see myself standing up there when preachers are preaching. I kind of have a thought from their message, and I'll see myself just preaching on that thought. Amen. And I went to Jerry with it, and he gave me some good advice, some good counsel. Amen. And ever since then, I've been on the road for the Lord, preaching the Word. Amen. Sometimes there's dry spells. You don't get appointments. Sometimes you get to go to singing different places instead of preaching, but amen. When the Lord is involved, it's all good. Amen. Amen. I'm glad the Lord, amen, has put this call on my life, and we'll try our best to deliver you what the Lord is delivering us.
I'm the Lord.
Under the demonstration and anointing of the Holy Spirit, I can't do anything what I'm doing without Him tonight. And so I ask you to pray for us tonight as we try to bring the message to you. Joshua chapter 24, the very last chapter of Joshua here. This scripture has been on my heart for a good month and a half, maybe 2 months. And I didn't know where I was going to end up preaching that, but tonight you're going to get the message tonight. So maybe I can get it off my chest, and then the Lord give me something else to chew on a little while. But I believe this is an important message for the church today. Seems like the churches, seems like a lot of people in the church just want to fall off and fall away, and seems like things are just getting worse and worse in the world. Jesus told us it would. Amen. He told us to be looking for things like that. He said not to look upon the things of the world, but He said to look up for our redemption draweth nigh. And hopefully this message will be something that you could take home with you this week and chew on.
Yeah.
Let's go to about verse 14. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Joshua here is addressing the people. And we may go back a little bit and go over what he's addressing them about, but for now we're going to start here. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth.
Yes, Lord.
And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
Amen. That's as far as I'm going to read right now. Maybe the Lord will give me some more scripture that I've got marked. He may not. I don't know. We'll just have to obey the Lord what He says tonight. But I was all week, I've been thinking about one little thing, and we may get to that here a little bit. I asked Jerry a question last week, and he's known for asking these questions that nobody can answer. And a lot of times you just look and you dig, and it'll end up being something that's right in front of your face. But I told Jerry, I said, this question, you're going to have to dig a little bit for it, because it's one of your type of questions. But we may get to that, I don't know for sure, but this part of the chapter really comes to my heart. It really jumps out to me. I guess it was either yesterday or today that I had the words underlined in my Bible. Some time back I underlined them, but I didn't really notice them because I was so focused on this other part of the chapter that this just stuck out to me. And that's in verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth."
Amen.
Tonight, that's what's on my heart tonight about serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. I'm glad there's some here tonight that are sincere in their heart and sincere in their worship and sincere in their love of the Lord and the love of the family of God to make it here tonight, to make an effort to come out and be a part of this service tonight. That shows to me and that shows to the Lord that we're sincere about it. Amen. Tonight, Joshua told the people, you need to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Amen. What is sincerity? Amen. You think about sincerity. You're sincere. You're honest. You're really honest with it's coming from your heart. Amen. Tonight, the Bible talks about serving the Lord with lip service. And the people that serve the Lord with their mouth, with their heart, is far from Him. Amen. But tonight, I'm glad tonight there's some people out there. Hey, there's still some people. God has still got some people on the firing line. Elijah thought he was all alone. Back there in the mountaintop, in the cave, he thought he was all alone, running from Jezebel. Yeah. But I tell you what, God told him, I've got 7,000 others that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Amen. And Elijah told him what he needed to do.
Yeah.
And he got up and he ran to his destination. And he accomplished many more things for the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's important that when we serve the Lord, we do so in sincerity.
Yes, amen.
Amen. When we come to the altar, when we give our heart to the Lord, we come to the altar every week and we have burdens we give to the Lord. One of the main topics when I was growing up under these two's ministry was that people would come to the altar and they wouldn't leave their burdens to the Lord, and they'd just pick them up and take them back home with them. Amen. But it's important, if we're to serve God in sincerity and in truth, we've got to leave our burdens to the Lord and let Him take care of them. We can't be bogged down with the weight of this world and expect to run the race. Those things will hold us down. They'll be heavy upon us. And Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We can't run the race if we're weighted down. And that word truth is important too. That word truth is the foundation upon where the gospel is built. Amen. The foundation of God is that His Word is true. You can take it to the bank. Amen. And the check won't bounce. Amen. He's good. His Word. Amen. This Word of God is true. Thy Word is truth. The psalmist David said. Amen. But I'm glad today if we think about truth. Amen. It's something that's real. It's something you can count on.
Amen.
It's something that you can bank on, that you can put your whole dependency upon it. And it will not waver. Amen. I'm glad that God's Word does not waver. But what, sometimes as humans, we waver. God doesn't change, but we change. Jesus told a woman at the well, that John chapter 4, amen, that God seeketh such to worship Him in His spirit and in truth. Amen. Today, a long time ago, it seemed like I didn't know what that meant. But then God placed it in my heart. Sometimes the way the Lord gets a hold of me, Brother Robbie, amen, is He has tears come streaming down my eyes. And I can't control it. And for years I was ashamed to cry and to let my heart show in front of the world, in front of the churches. But I'm telling you what, if I hold that back, then I'm lying to God.
Amen.
That's how God has put it in my heart to worship Him.
Amen.
Hey, and when the tears start flowing, that is true worship. That's not something you can put on. That's not something, amen, you can put on one day and you can take it off and make a show out of it. When, amen, when He squeezes my heart and those tears start flowing, I have to praise God like I can't any other way.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Help me, Lord.
But He said, serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I want you to notice the next thing. He said, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
They had their heart on other gods.
That was Jesus.
Amen. Their heart wasn't on the one true God. Amen. You read all throughout Isaiah around 49, 48 chapters, somewhere around in there, where he talks about how they'll take a piece of wood and they'll bow down and worship to it. It's something that they make with their hands. And in the next sentence, they'll take that same kind of wood that they made that idol for, same kind of wood, and they'll throw it in the fire to keep themselves warm.
Yeah, right.
Amen. I'm glad that I have a God today, that I serve a God that is alive. Amen. And He is not dead. He is alive forevermore. He is well. Amen. And they can't take Him. Yeah, they tried to crucify Him. They tried to kill Him. And they did kill Him. Amen. But the power of God rested upon Him. And he was raised back again from the dead. That is one of the core foundations and fundamentals of the Christian faith. Amen. Is that Christ died, but he was rose again. And he rose again on the third day. Conquering death, hell, and the grave for me and you.
Amen.
Today, that is our assurance today that God is going to come back one day after a while. And that we can have that assurance. This morning in church, they talked about they visited a woman. Amen. Who was in the hospital and she was about to take her last breath. And they asked her if she had her heart right with God and she knew she was going to heaven. Amen. And the woman said, well, I hope so. Amen. You know, the salvation we have and the God that we serve is so real that you can know so. Amen. Today. You can be assured if you're going to heaven. Read 1 John. It said, these things I've written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. If you have hope in this life of Christ Jesus only, we're all men most miserable. But if we have hope in the next life, well, I tell you what, that's what keeps us going on. I believe it's Hebrews 6:19 that talks about that hope being an anchor of the soul. Amen. When the storm is raging, we can drop our anchor on the rock that does not move. It does not fade. It does not falter. But that rock is sure and it stands sure today, yesterday, and forevermore. Jesus Christ, our rock. Amen. They had their heart on other gods that could not supply their needs. Amen. Back in Exodus, so they're around 30-something chapter. We may turn to that, I don't know. But I tell you that they had began, Moses had went up to the mountain to commune with God. Amen. He was receiving the two tablets of stone.
Amen.
We see these tablets today. They got all kinds of apps on them. Amen. The Moses' tablet had a finger of God. Amen. It was written that with God's finger. Amen. It was a touch screen, if you want to say. Does God touch that tablet? Amen. And he made two tablets with the Ten Commandments on them. And Moses was in that mountaintop, said he communed with God for 40 days and 40 nights. And that happened in about Exodus 25 on for about Exodus 32. He was in the mountain for about seven chapters. God had showed him, but he laid it out what the tabernacle was supposed to be, what the veil was supposed to be made out of, how it was supposed to be made, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the candlestick, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, the altar of incense, the veil, everything was laid out to Moses on that mountaintop. And when he got done, God gave him two tablets to bring down. Well, in the meantime, when he was up on the mountain, we find that the children of Israel begin to ask, what has happened to this man Moses? We haven't seen him in 40-something days. Hey, I tell you what, Aaron was Moses' brother. And they called Aaron up and they said, Aaron, make us a god. Make us something we can worship. Amen. And Aaron told them to bring their gold and their earrings. And they melted it. And Aaron's excuse was later when he tried to explain to Moses, he said, well, there came this calf out of that fire. Just like it appeared. No, they made a calf. They started worshiping it. And God made it known to Moses he was very, very wrathful then. Because they had forgotten the God that had brought them from Egypt where they lived for 400 some odd years. They were slaves under the taskmasters there. Amen. And God had brought them through the Red Sea. He had devoured their enemies in the flood when the Red Sea came down and crashed upon them. And he had made them go through the wilderness. Amen. They didn't have to worry about their clothes fading. Amen. God supplied their food needs. He supplied their clothing needs. And all of a sudden, when they get to this part, they don't know where God is. They don't know where Moses is. They turn their hearts away from him. How easy it is when we feel like we haven't heard from God to turn away and seek in another direction. I'm telling you what, if we serve God in sincerity and truth, we have to commit ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, be like Job. Sometimes when it gets rough, I think of old Job. What he went through, I went through a half of what he went through, not even a third, not even a quarter. But Job said, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's sincerity. That's having our heart in this all in. I heard a sermon one time. It said, all in for Christ. Amen. Are we all in for Christ today? Amen. But Moses and them, they had a lot of issues. And Joshua here was the man that was succeeding Moses. Moses had went as far as he could with the children of Israel. But he couldn't go any farther. Amen. So he had to hand it over to Joshua.
Yeah.
And now we see Joshua about at the end of his journey. They went across Jordan. They went into Canaan and they took down the walls of Jericho. God did through them. Amen. And they had fought all kinds of kings. And they had reclaimed the land that God had told was theirs. And all of a sudden, and we find that Joshua has to have a little conversation with them. If you go back to the first part of this chapter, I'm going to read what he was telling them and why he came to this point about making a decision to serve God.
Yeah.
Elijah, when he was in Mount Carmel, he told him, he said, "Why halt ye between two opinions? If Baal be God, then serve him. But if God be God, then serve him."
Yeah.
Too many people today are halting between two opinions.
Yeah.
They're one-legged Christians, amen.
They
got one leg over the fence on this side of the world. One leg over the fence on this side of the church. I was singing about this morning. And if you're just half saved, then you're all lost.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. You're either in or you're out. Jesus said you're either for me or you're against me.
Right.
You're either gathering with me or you're scattering the flock.
Amen.
Amen. And he told Joshua had come to this point. I would consider this a crossroads. Because I believe he probably knew he was not going to be here but tomorrow.
Amen.
He was going to give the children of Israel one last sermon.
Yeah.
One last encouragement of what they need to do before his life was over, before his time was gone, because he couldn't go with them any further.
Yeah.
And it says in the first part of chapter 24, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. Remember that name, Shechem. And called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for the judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess him. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to all that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and he covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwell in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel. And sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword or with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwelt in them.
Amen.
Of the vineyards and olives which ye planted not do ye eat." Now, having said all that, we come back full circle to where we started.
Amen.
Why does it mean so much that they serve the Lord? Why does it mean so much that they serve Him and fear Him in sincerity and truth?
Amen.
Why is it so important that Joshua gives a charge, so to speak, like Paul went to Timothy many years later? Because of all that God had done for him. Not just all that he did, but all that he proved himself to be through those acts. The one true God. None of the gods which they found their hearts serving, the golden calf, Baal, Ashtaroth, all these other gods that are mentioned in the Bible, Molech, none of the other gods delivered them. It was God Almighty. The one true God, Jehovah, Yahweh. The one great I Am. Amen. He's the one to deliver them. And Joshua said, we need to serve Him in sincerity and in truth.
Right, brother.
And if it seems evil for you, he said, If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, we just done read about them, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, Joshua here, the leader of Israel at this time, has to set an example. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's the one that got us through all these things. He has proved himself to be God.
Praise the Lord.
And we're going to serve him
in
sincerity and truth.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I told you to remember that word Shechem. Amen. As we go on down here, I want to skip on down to verse, let me find it here in verse 23. This is important because Israel had a problem with serving false gods all throughout their history. They had a problem with this. And it says here in verse 23, this wording appears again. We're going to go to this here in just a little bit. It says, "Now therefore put away," said he, that's Joshua, "the strange gods which are among you." That's a key word, strange gods. "And incline your heart unto the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. There that word is again. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God."
Amen.
So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Now keeping that in mind, the word strange God, the word Shechem, the great stone that was under an oak, I want to take you back to where a lot of this began in Genesis. Let's go back to about Genesis chapter 35.
Bless you, Jesus.
Turn with me, if you will. This is a question I told you that I asked Jerry about.
Listen, Lord.
This really hit me, and I've never noticed this before. I don't even know why I was reading in these two separate chapters in the Bible. But it really was amazing to me when I read it. Genesis 35, this is right after Jacob meets Esau. He was afraid to meet his brother again because he stole his brother's birthright.
Mm-hmm.
He had prayed to God on occasion before meeting his brother, and that's when we hear about Jacob wrestling with an angel.
Man.
And the angel smote him on his thigh and he told him, "Your name's not going to be called Jacob anymore, but it's going to be called Israel."
Man.
And so here we are in Genesis 35 up to this point. And God said unto Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Then Jacob said unto his household, notice this, all that were with him, "Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me this day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Notice that after they got rid of the things that were taking their heart away from God, nobody could touch them.
Amen.
Nobody pursued after them. They were protected in their journey.
Amen.
Now, I'm inclined to believe, I don't know if this is the same spot or not, but it is Shechem. And it says it was underneath an oak where Jacob had hid these strange gods, which, by the way, I believe are the same gods that Rachel stole from Laban, her father, when they got out of that place.
Right.
A few chapters back. They never mentioned where those gods went to, but I believe they were part of those, and they multiplied, and they turned their hearts away from God.
Man.
And Jacob here says, "Put your strange gods away." And they brought them to Jacob, and he hid them under an oak. When it says that, I'm inclined to believe he buried them. He got rid of them. Didn't find a hole, but he just completely buried them next to an oak.
Amen.
And so years later, after we're not even in Egypt yet. Egypt takes place a period of over 400 years.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not including how many years it took, 40 years in the wilderness, how many years it took them to get to the point of Joshua chapter 24, where Joshua says he put a great stone next to an oak in Shechem.
Amen.
I'm inclined to believe it's the same spot.
That's right.
The question I asked Jerry was, where in the Bible does it say there's a tombstone for false gods? And I just saw that in my head. That great stone which Joshua had and put there in Shechem where those gods had been hid centuries back.
Amen.
Amen. That was almost a reminder. That was like a tombstone for those gods.
Amen.
A reminder. A tombstone reminds us of who the people used to be that used to be in this world living and breathing.
Amen.
And that rock was a reminder to them of the gods that were turning their hearts away from the Lord. And they had been through that for years. Years and years.
Amen.
And God said, I want to turn your hearts back.
Yeah.
So this is a reminder to them.
Amen.
In the same land, the Shechem, it was made full circle.
Yeah.
And it was time for God to get their hearts back and for them to serve Him in sincerity and in truth.
Amen.
Point of that is today, you know, today, church, we don't serve, we don't see a lot of false idols. About the closest thing I see to an idol is when you go to a Chinese restaurant, they have them little green fat Buddhas standing all over the place. Now, I don't believe that's a god. I know it's not a god. It's just something made with hands. But in their culture, they worship that.
Yeah.
But us, in the society we live in today, we don't have gods like images and things. Now, it's coming to that. Amen. You remember years ago, a few years back, it's not been that long ago, but they erected an archway to Baal in New York City, and they began to display it in different places. I don't know why they did that, but to me that's a sign that America is turning even farther away from God. When you start erecting temples and things like that to false gods, that's bad news, folks. That's allowing the devil to creep in and influence the society even more. We need to pray for our country. But I'll tell you what, if we serve God in sincerity and truth, we don't have to worry about other gods. Little g, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Little gods that aren't really gods, but they take their attention off the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. If we're serving God in sincerity and truth, are we going to let things like the TV or things like email or smartphones, not that they're bad, but if they take their attention off the Lord,
right.
If they take our focus off the Lord,
right.
And if we begin to forget what the Lord has done for us and how He's proven to us in this day and age, how much He loves us and how powerful He is. Is not that becoming a god to us?
Amen, brother. Good preacher.
Even the most honest things can become an idol.
Again.
If we let them turn our focus from God. Money is one of the biggest things.
Yeah.
People have their eyes set on money. They have their eyes set on power. And that's their god.
Yeah.
And those things turn away the hearts from the true God.
Yeah.
Amen. Because people have this... They have their eyes on the temporary. Message this morning, a lot of it was about the temporary things. And you can't take your money with you when you leave this world. You can't take power with you when you leave this world. You don't have power of yourself anyway. Everything comes from the Lord. All good, great gifts come from the Father of lights. But we can't take it with us when we go. So our emphasis should be in serving God through the eternal things. Jesus said, don't lay your treasures on this earth. Lay them up in heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So when we serve God, when we come to the Lord's house, we need to really make sure that we're doing it out of the sincerity of our hearts.
Amen.
Lord, am I serving You truthfully? Lord, am I really honest? Not just on Sundays. Oh, it's easy to serve God on Sundays. Let Monday come around. The workday starts.
Amen.
And then let Tuesday come around. Then let Wednesday come around. There's all these other days in the week. And it's so easy to say, well, I'm so tired. And then our couch becomes our God.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say one time, sometimes the only thing that stands between some church members and church is a bed sheet. Because it won't get out of bed. Why is that?
Amen.
You know, I was thinking on the way today, I was thinking earlier. Brother Jerry is he's doing all he can to try to get people interested in coming to church and amen. Within the bounds of the Lord, within the bounds of what the Word of God says. And he talks to me every now and then about what I think about revivals and what I think about singings and things like that. And I, you know, in my heart later earlier today, I was thinking to myself, Lord, what's it going to take for the people of God to get hungry again? And you know what came to my mind? I don't know what it means yet.
Listen, Jesus.
But, you know, if you want to make somebody thirsty, What you give them is salt.
Yeah.
There's an old comic strip, Garfield. I mean, old Garfield. I love Garfield. And if I get this right, there's a comic strip of Garfield. It looks like a lemonade stand, but it's not lemonade. It seems like he's selling salt. And I think the punchline was, it wasn't the point of the salt. It was when you got the salt, you're going to be thirsty. And so the water, the salt was like 25 cents a cup or whatever. And then the glass of water was $5. Because when you need the water, you're going to pay more for it. And that was the punchline about it. But to get people thirsty, you give them something salty. And Jesus talked about salt. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. If the salt had lost its savor, wherewith is it good to be salted? But to cast it out and trod it under the foot of men?
Amen.
And so on my mind right now is, Lord, what do we need to do to get people hungry?
Amen.
If we give them salt to make them thirsty, what do we need to do to make them hungry? People have lost a hunger for the Lord. That's why we don't hear about many revivals nowadays. I'm glad that I saw the sign that was out on the side of 111 Road about them having a revival here. I was glad to come by and see that.
Amen.
I mean, it got my attention. Somebody else, who knows, it might have got somebody else's attention. That's important. I know the message might seem kind of scattered tonight, but that's what the Lord had put on my heart, and I'm glad to finally get it off my chest. Now, as the old saying goes, the ball is in your court. What you going to do with it when you leave here tonight? Are you going to be sincere with the Lord? Is there other ways in your heart that you can think of being sincere? I'm going to ask Brother Donald if he come and get a verse of a song. Let's all stand. I am so happy to be here tonight. I feel like this is home. I feel like I'm at home. Brother Robbie told me that I had liberty tonight to obey the Lord. And I feel like I've had that tonight. I appreciate that. You don't get that everywhere you go.
No, you don't. That's right.
But if you have a need tonight, I don't know, as far as I know, everybody in the house may be saved, but that don't mean you still don't need the Lord.
Amen.
That don't mean you still don't need the Lord. Come on, Brother Donner. As he sings,
263.
If there's something standing between you and the Lord, it's time to get sincere. Today, he said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Today is the day of salvation. Go ahead, brother.
My